We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
I'm glad to see you all in the house of God today. My name is Pastor Marshall Blessing. I'm the care pastor here at Redemption Church. Today is a wonderful day, and I'm glad I get the opportunity to share it with you. So I have sort of a weird question to ask you. You might have saw it on Facebook earlier. What did you get for Christmas last year? Think about it. What did you get? Or if you have young children, what did they get? Or if you have young relatives, what did they get? What were they really excited about? What was that Christmas gift? Oh, they unwrapped it. It's the thing that I wanted all year, finally. What did you get? I got this book from my lovely wife. I have not had a chance to read it yet, but I really like David Byrne. He's a musician, and I look forward to reading it, and I really appreciate it. So that's what I got for Christmas. What about you? The reason I ask, I heard an interesting statistic back last Christmas, and it stuck with me. When I heard it, it even got me thinking, man, that would make a really good sermon. So this sermon has been 3 months in the making. Here's the statistic. 50% of the toys given as Christmas gifts last year would be broken within 90 days. That, on the one hand, that sounds reasonable. I can see that. I've seen kids play with toys. They go quick. On the other hand, wow, 50%. Half of the toys given as Christmas gifts last Christmas are broken within 90 days. Well, when is that? That was this past Tuesday, March 25th. So it's been 90 days. Half of the toys that were given as gifts are now broken. Half of the toys that parents stood in line for or got up at or went out on Thanksgiving now to go shopping for are broken. Half of the toys that children begged for and cried over are broken. Half of the toys, they're broken now. So that got me thinking, what else has been broken in the last 90 days? Think about it in your life. Maybe something around the house has broken. Maybe you've had some kind of technical issue. Your laptop has gone out, or you dropped your phone. What in your life has broken in the last 90 days? Here in March Madness, maybe your bracket broke. That covers pretty much everybody. I know some folks who have had car issues. Part of their car's gone out. In the last 90 days, maybe you made a New Year's resolution. And since then, you kind of figured, no, actually, maybe that's not so great. Maybe I'll get to that next year. We are currently in the season of Lent as we're preparing for Easter. Some people give up something for Lent. And then we're about 3 weeks in, so some folks also say, well, you know, this one doesn't count, whatever it is. Maybe it's a promise that somebody made you. Might have been broken in the last 90 days. Maybe a relationship You know, people who have broke up. Maybe your budget. Maybe some unexpected expenses came along and you found that you're broke. Maybe it was paying off some of those toys that are already broken. But it's not just us. It's not just our lives. Throughout the world, you can see things breaking all throughout the world. If you're a Rangers fan, you can look at some of their players. In the last 90 days, they've been having some bad luck. At last Christmas, Bitcoins were still pretty awesome. They sounded like the currency of the future. If you don't know what a Bitcoin is, don't worry about it. They're not so much a thing anymore. Their system kind of broke. In the last 90 days, there was a jetliner from Malaysia, and some stuff broke, and it went down, and a lot of people died. Just in this year, we had the Winter Olympics, and they were a good time. The world came together for this international sporting event, and there were some good feelings and stuff. Our relationship with Russia was pretty good at that time. And since then, it's kind of broken down. The truth of it is that things break. It's frustrating. It's inconvenient. Because we're counting on things to work. We count on things to be there when we need them. And when they break, it always feels like it's at the worst possible moment. We're always surprised. Oh, it broke! Who would have thought this thing could break? These complicated electronics that I don't even know how they work, but it broke. Oh, man. And I got to get this report in at work. I got to get somewhere and my car isn't running right. We depend on things to work and we get incredibly frustrated when they break. I get really frustrated when I'm trying to preach and the microphone breaks. Just a moment ago, we had a visit from Ian Fain. We didn't time that quite right. I was trying to work it out with him earlier. I love Ian. He's my godson. If you don't know him, that's Scott's eldest son. I love him. He is so great. He has this concept down, that things break. To him, he knows everything breaks. To him, anything that isn't working exactly the way he expects it to, it's broken. I got the privilege of babysitting him a few weeks ago. And he came to me and said, Ratatouille's broken. Fix it, Ratatouille. What he was saying is the movie he likes to watch, Ratatouille, wasn't playing on the DVD player anymore because his brother had taken the DVD out of the player. It's broken. Fix it. It's broken. And then later he came to me, hey, toast. I'm hungry. Give me some toast. So his dad had made him a peanut butter sandwich before his mom and dad left. And so I said, oh, here, you're hungry, buddy? Here you go. Here's a peanut butter sandwich. So he took it, and he looked at it. He said, this toast is broken. This toast is broken. Fix it. Because it's not toast, it's a sandwich. And so it's broken. Even if he doesn't know where something is at the moment, it's broken. Helicopter's broken. Help me find it. He understands things break. Now, there are a few things in life that don't break. There are a few things we can count on and be certain of. God's word never breaks. God never breaks his word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Amen?
Amen.
God's love never breaks. It never runs out. It's never going to quit. God's plan never breaks. His plan for redemption of the world, his plan of salvation, cannot be broken. There's nothing you can do that's going to throw it off course and, oh, all this Jesus stuff, it's out the window. It didn't work. His plan cannot be foiled. It can't be broken. But what about us? Well, like we've discussed already, the truth is we break. We're not so dependable. We break our word. We try not to, but we make promises that we don't keep. We break relationship with others. Sometimes you can point the finger and blame whoever, but the truth is, we have relationships, and they break. We break our plans. Like I mentioned earlier, we make plans for, I'm going to get in shape. I'm going to work out every day, and a couple days later, well, not today, and then the week after, well, that was fun. That was an interesting experiment, but it didn't quite work out. I'm the master of breaking plans. Every morning, I try to be really organized. I get up and I know what I want to do today and how to get it all done efficiently. And without fail, by noon, it's out the window. My plans are gone. I'm doing something else. Our bodies physically wear out over time. We get damaged. We break. But not always. In some instances, there are stories of people who didn't break. They're always really inspiring. We love those kind of stories. For instance, stories of perseverance. When people run a marathon, that's an endurance race. If somebody can run 26 miles and finish, they finished the marathon, they did it. They didn't break. They didn't give up. We're inspired when we hear stories of natural disasters or other tragedies where people's homes were knocked over and the rescue workers were looking for them and it's been several days and then they find a survivor. That person didn't give up. And the rescue workers didn't quit. They kept looking till they found that person. We love stories like that. Well, as I said, I heard the statistic back last Christmas and I've been thinking about how this sermon was going to go. And I was planning to be this, like, uplifting, yeah, so don't break. Run the race with endurance. You can do it. You don't have to break. Persevere. We got this. There's a lot of messages like that in the Bible, and they're great. And I was sharing that with Pastor Chris, and he shared a story with me that I'd never heard before, and it was pretty impressive. So I thought I'd share it with you. Have you ever heard of a man named Carlos Hathcock? Me neither. But he's an interesting guy. Gunnery Sergeant Carlos Hathcock II, also known as the White Feather. He served in the U.S. military. He was the most successful sniper for the United States of all time. There's lots of stories about him. He was known as the White Feather because he always wore a white feather in his helmet or in his hat, and the enemy recognized that and referred to him as the White Feather, as in that's a guy, when he's around, it's bad news. So Carlos Hathcock, the White Feather, this particular story that Chris shared with me, he was asked if he would go on a mission. They didn't even tell him what it was. He said, yeah, I'll go. He didn't know what he had to do, but he signed up for it. The mission involved going into enemy territory and going and assassinating a general for the North Vietnamese Army. But to get there, he would have to go through about 1,500 yards of just open land, just a field. There was some tall grass in it, but the enemy patrolled it. If you just walked across it, they'd see you and shoot you dead. So he had to somehow get across this field, get to his position, and take out this general. So what he ended up doing was crawling through the grass, and it took him several days. Inch by inch, he crawled through this grass. He almost got stepped on by enemy troops patrolling. Poisonous snakes crawled on him, and he didn't flinch. He didn't shout. He didn't throw it off or make any sudden gestures, because they would have found him. He made it across this field. He took the shot. He killed the general. And then that alerted the enemy that someone was here shooting at him. So then they started looking for him. So he had to go back across the field the same way he came, crawling. if he wanted to make it out alive. All together, it took him 4 days and 3 nights without sleep. Most of it just crawling across this field, inch by inch. That's perseverance. That's a guy who didn't break. If you're ever going through something tough and you need some kind of story to inspire you as what the limits of human endurance are, that you can make it through this, check out that story. That's really impressive. There's lots of stories about this guy. He became kind of legendary for the things that he did. And so I was like, yeah, that would fit well in this story, in this sermon about perseverance. All right. But I started looking into it, and I came across something that kind of caught me off guard. In interviews after his whole time in the war, they asked him about that. And he said, you know, that mission where I had to crawl across the field, I'm glad it was successful. I'm glad that I was able to do that. But to be honest, I regret taking that mission. Whoa, what? Not because it was hard. Not because of what he had to go through. He was glad he was able to fulfill the mission and live up to what he had volunteered for. But he regretted taking the mission because after he killed that general, the North Vietnamese army retaliated and doubled their attacks. And he figures that that actually led to increased casualties for the American troops. And so altogether, he's like, yeah, you know, if I could have gone back, I wouldn't have done it, knowing what I know now. So, man, I was really scratching my head about that. And I came to the conclusion, sometimes it's okay when we break. Now, first, I can't make it more clear. In some things, we should never break. There are some parts of our lives that we need to persevere and not break. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Those words come from the Bible. That's good advice, all right? Don't break your word. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. That's important. We shouldn't break in areas of our faith in God. God is faithful and true, and we can have faith in him. So I would encourage you, don't let your faith break. But there's a difference between perseverance. Those are areas where we need to persevere. There's a difference between perseverance and stubbornness. Some things in our life need to break. There are some things that we're holding on to that we don't need to be holding on to. And we need to break our grip on that thing and put it down. Sometimes we have relationships that are broken. We're in relationships that are broken, and we don't want to admit it because that's like admitting defeat. So you're kind of there, but just nursing this broken relationship that's really only making things worse. Sometimes we need to be broken to get past the pride that tells us we don't need help from other people or we don't need God. We need to be broken sometimes. Now, here at Redemption Church, we believe that God can work through all things to bring good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose. So when things break in our life, yeah, God can work through that to bring about good. We believe that. But I'm talking about something even more than that. Sometimes things need to break. Some things are made to be broken. They say rules are made to be broken. Have you ever heard that? I don't agree with that. But there are some things that are made to break in order to prevent worse damage from happening. I learned this lesson firsthand way back several years ago when I was a capricious youth back in Pensacola, Florida. I was driving around in a Ford Escort, It was a good little car. It got me where I needed to go. So I was driving around one day, and I noticed it was starting to overheat. Oh, something's weird there. Something's going on. So I popped the hood, and I was checking it out. Why did that happen? Oh, here it is. The fuse that goes to the cooling fan had burned out. Okay, that makes sense. Discount Auto Parts is right there, and a new fuse costs 75 cents. Pop it in. We're good to go. All right. So driving around some more a couple days later. Oh, my car's overheating again. Well, this time I already know what the solution is. It's real easy. New fuse. Boom. Done. Back on the road. So we're driving around. Things were good. A couple days later, my car's overheating again. Now, by this time, some of the more astute members of the congregation are probably saying, did you stop to think why that fuse was burning out over and over? Maybe there was something else going on there. Well, no, I was young and dumb, and new fuses were 75 cents. I could get all those that I needed. So, new fuse, we're good to go. And then, one day, I was driving along, and there was sort of a weird smell in the car. And I looked, and there was smoke coming out of the vents. And that's not a good sign. I didn't see that in the owner's manual. So I think that's bad. So I pulled over, and then through the smoke in the cab, I looked out through the window, and there was smoke coming out from under the hood. So that's when I knew it was time to freak out. It was okay to freak out at this point. So got out of the car. Thankfully, I was in a residential area. I just ran out. There was a random house there. So I ran up to the side. They had a hose, got it out, got the hood open, and just hosed everything down. Because I imagine there was just flames, and my car was a few seconds away from exploding. But thankfully, no. It was just some smoke. The problem was that a little piece of nylon rope had gotten wrapped around the fan that cools the engine. And so when the fan was trying to turn, it couldn't turn past that rope. That rope was holding it in place, and then the fuse would burn out. Except when you get nothing against Discount Auto Parts. I don't know that it was their fault at all. But I got a bad fuse, and the fuse didn't burn out. The purpose of that fuse is to break before something worse happens. And that fuse, that last fuse, didn't burn out. And so it just kept giving power to that fan and just kept trying to turn until it started to heat up and smoke and melted the fan and some of the things around it. Some things are made to break in order to prevent worse damage from happening. So if something's broken in our life, if little things aren't working over and over again, maybe we need to look for a bigger problem. We need to look for the root. What's really causing this? Why do these little things keep breaking? It can actually be a good thing if it draws our attention to a big problem that could cause big trouble down the road. In Proverbs, there's lots of wisdom in there. In Proverbs 29, verse 1, a man who remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. This speaks to me because I'm real stubborn. I want to keep driving my car, and if I can do that with a 75-cent fuse, that's good enough for me. I don't want to change my ways. But when little speed bumps come along, little problems pop up, and you don't notice it, you don't do anything about it, you just try and ignore it and move on, you need to be careful because destruction could be coming right at you. These little troubles are flags trying to get you to change your course. A man who remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. Eventually, there's going to be a problem that can't be fixed with a 75-cent fuse. There's going to be a problem you can't just tape over and pretend it's not there. Sometimes it's okay when we break. Listen to the words of Jesus from Matthew chapter 21, verse 44. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed to powder, and it will winnow him and scatter him like dust. This comes from the Amplified Bible. I like that version because it gives a little bit more detail about what's being said. Whoever falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. Who is this stone? Jesus. He's the stone that the builders rejected, who became the chief cornerstone. That's Jesus. Whoever falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. What's that talking about? In every person's life, at least once, there comes a time where we're going along and we think we're living life right. We got this. I know what I'm doing. Things are fine. And then we stop for a minute and look to Christ. What is it he really calls me to be doing? What should my life be like according to him? And whoa, it causes us to stumble and not in a bad way. It's a check. Hey, wait a second, this isn't right. And the way that we were living, if we're going to change it to what he wants, has to kind of be broken. Some things have to change. There's an old song, Ain't Nobody Gonna Break My Stride. It's like that. We're trucking along, and then we look to the Word of God, and whoa, we have to break our stride, turn around, and head the other direction back towards Christ. That's repentance. All right. So whoever falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. Sometimes to get our lives in line with Christ, some big changes have to be made. It can upend your whole life. It can feel like this life you had before is broken to pieces. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. Because if you just keep going, you're going to meet Christ. There's going to be a time where everybody faces Jesus Christ. And if you never met him until that last moment, that's the person on whom this stone falls and is crushed to powder. That's the destruction without remedy. Because we need Christ. He is our salvation. If we don't know him until that last moment, then the truth of his holiness and his justice and his righteousness will fall. And we're done for at that point. There isn't going to be any picking up the pieces. Broken bones can be set. It's better to be broken, to be fixed, than to be destroyed completely. Amen? This is the whole meaning behind Jesus' teaching that if your eye causes you to stumble, cast it out. Because it's better to go into eternal life with one eye than to have both eyes and go down to destruction. It doesn't literally mean we need to be taking out our eyes or cutting off our hands. But if there's something in your life that's breaking you in the eyes of God, that's breaking your relationship with God, you need to get rid of that. You need to break that off and throw it away. Psalm 51 is pretty well known. This was King David's psalm of repentance. After he committed adultery with Bathsheba, and he had Uriah killed, and it was brought to his attention what he had done by Nathan the prophet. This was David's psalm, turning back to God and calling out to God for forgiveness. Psalm 51 contains the words, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." That's where those words come from. Let's look at what else that psalm says. These are the words of King David in verse 17. "My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. God, you will not despise." These are sacrifices that God accepts. When we come to him and say, "God, I'm broken. I'm not working right." He says that's okay. When we bring that to him, he can fix that. A broken and contrite heart, God will not despise. If somebody makes you something and you break it, it can be really embarrassing. Usually when they come over to your house, you try and hide it. Or if they ever bring it up, you're like, oh, well, yeah, that thing, it's around here somewhere. I mean, because people take pride in the things they make, and you want to take good care of it. So if you ever brought it back to them and said, hey, man, you know that thing you made me? I kind of broke it. Normally, we'd expect them to be mad. We are God's creation, and we are broken. But he's the one entity, the one person that when we bring his creation back to him broken and say, God, can you fix this, please? He's glad to do it. He loves to do it because he knows how it's supposed to be, and he's the only one that can get it back to that state. We can try. We can kind of patch it up, but really, you want it fixed? You need him. He's the only one that can do it. God is making us into something better than we were. John chapter 15 is the chapter in John's gospel where Jesus talks about, I am the vine and you are the branches. It's a fairly familiar passage. It starts out in this way. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. What does bear fruit? He prunes so that it may be even more fruitful. So if you're not bearing fruit, he breaks those off and casts them away. And even if you are bearing fruit, even if you're living for God and your life's bearing some fruit, you're still liable to be pruned. That's where a gardener cuts off little twigs and little saplings in order to help the main branch grow. Well, that's it right there, to help the main branch grow better, to bear more fruit. Pruning may not be fun. Stuff's getting cut off. Stuff's breaking. But God has a purpose behind it, that he's helping that branch. He's helping us to be more fruitful, to be better. He's making us into something better. We can see this in the life of Simon Peter. Simon Peter was a pretty stubborn guy. We can see this in the Gospels. He needed to be broken, to tell you the truth. Because Jesus tells him, the Son of Man is going to be taken into captivity and put to death. And the third day, he will rise again. And Simon's the one that said, no, no, Master, God forbid. And Jesus says to him, get behind me, Satan. This is what's going to happen. This is what needs to happen. You need to get in line with the program. Well, Simon was a stubborn guy. So later on, in the garden, the soldiers are coming to take Jesus. And Simon pulls out his sword and cuts off a guy's ear. No, I'm not going to let this happen. This is the Messiah. He's the champion. I know how this is going to work, and it ain't like this. And Jesus says, no, Simon, you don't get it yet. That's not who I am. That's not how I'm going to triumph. So that started to rock Simon's world. It started to break his picture of who this Messiah was. And so when he was challenged while this was coming to pass, and Jesus was before the Sanhedrin, and someone asked Simon, hey, aren't you his friend? Aren't you with them? He denied them three times. I don't even know who that guy is. I don't know him. I'm not with them. Simon was starting to break. His worldview was already broken. And then Jesus came back, just like he said he would. And Simon really didn't know what to do with that, because here he had rejected Christ. He had denied him completely. But after the resurrection, Jesus came and met some of the disciples on the beach. They had been out for a long night of fishing. They hadn't caught much. They met Jesus on the beach and had breakfast. And that's when Jesus said to him, "Simon, do you love me?" We just finished a study of love in our connect groups, looking at the different words that the Bible uses for love. In this instance, Jesus was using the Greek word that means unconditional love, agape. "Simon Peter, do you love me unconditionally?" And Simon says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." But Simon used the brotherly love word, phileo. "Simon, do you love me unconditionally?" "Yeah, Jesus, you know, you're my friend. Feed my sheep." And then he asked him a second time, "Simon, do you love me unconditionally?" "Yeah, Jesus, you know I love you like a brother. You're my buddy. We're good. Feed my lambs." And he asked him a third time, but the third time was different. The third time Jesus used that same brotherly love word, phileo. "Simon, are you even my friend?" And that's where Simon broke. It says he started to cry and realized, said, "Yes, Jesus, you know I love you." Simon had to break. But then look at his life afterwards, how he went on from there to lead the church. Read his sermon in Acts 2, how he stood up before all of the people and said, "This was the Christ whom you crucified." He was testifying to Jesus before the Sanhedrin, before leaders, before anyone that he could tell. His life was completely different because there was a moment there where he needed to be broken and made into something better than he had been before. And that's what God can do in all of our lives. We are made to be something better. Our current state is broken compared to what God created us to be. We often think, this is the default. This is the baseline. I'm good right now. Something happens and, oh man, then I'm broken. I get sick. That's the broken state. I need God to get me back to where I am. No, that's not how it works. I'm broken right now. I'm perfectly healthy. My finances are good. I'm happy and I'm really content with my life in the world right now. I'm broken. That's not the way God created me to be. That's not the way God created us to be. God can make us new. God will make us new if we are willing to be broken. Our lives afterward might look broken as the world sees it. But really, from God's perspective, we're being fixed. I want to be fixed. It's like surgery. In surgery, the surgeons have to make an injury. They have to make an incision. They have to do some damage in order to get in there and fix a bigger problem. It's a little injury to repair a big problem before it becomes life-threatening. Sometimes little things in our life need to break in order to get us back on track overall, to get our whole life back in line with God. That's the big thing. And like surgery, you got to go to someone who you can trust. You don't go to somebody at the supermarket and say, "Hey man, my appendix has really been giving me trouble lately. Do you have a pocket knife? Could you get in there and get that out for me? Would you mind?" No, you got to go to someone who's trained, who knows what they're doing, who knows what they're working on, someone who you can trust. God is the one who you can trust to break you in order to make you better. God is the one. God is preparing us for life in His kingdom. We're made for life with Him. But in our current state, we're not ready for it yet. God's preparing us for something better. He's making us better. He's making us into citizens of His kingdom, His holy kingdom, where we're all headed. And as He does, some of the earthly parts of our life look broken. But that's okay. We carry this treasure in jars of clay. That's what the Bible says. I didn't have a clay jar to bring today, so this styrofoam cup will have to suffice. We carry this treasure, the glory of God, in this humble vessel. That's us. Well, that's great. If you could get the lights for me. Thank you very much. It's kind of like this. Sometimes you can tell it's in there. God's glory shines out of us through our lives, through the way we live and the things we do. We want to glorify God. Right? Yeah. Amen. Yes, we do. That's what our lives are all about. Well, sometimes in living for God, living the way He tells us to in this broken world, you know, sometimes we tend to break a little bit. It just lets this glory out more. It gives people a better glimpse of what's inside. Thank you very much. You can bring the lights back up. It's also like the sermon that Chris preached a couple weeks ago when he was talking about the cup. Remember the example he had? God was pouring His blessing into our lives. Well, God's glorified not just when we're blessed, but when it runs out. Remember how it overflowed and flowed into other people's lives? God's glorified when His blessings flow out through us into the lives of others. Well, when we're a little bit broken, when we got some cracks, it tends to flow out better. Is that all right? I got some good news for you today. Things break. Amen? That's good news. Here, again, you can look at the world around us. We just came through kind of a nasty winter. It was bad enough here. We'd get teased with 70 degree days and then snow, then freezing weather. But up in the Northeast, they were still having snow on St. Patrick's Day. They were still having some snow last week. It's been a tough winter, but it's breaking. Spring is coming. You saw the beautiful day we had out there. The springtime, the warmth, it's coming. This broken world is breaking. It's going to go away as we move to a place that's never going to break. But even now today, dawn is breaking. We live in a dark world. We live in a broken world. But on the horizon, the glory of God is coming. His kingdom is coming. As the Bible says, we're closer today to our salvation than we ever were before. We're getting closer and closer day by day. Dawn is breaking. Even though we live in a dark world, the light is coming into the world. So we can look for that, celebrate that, rejoice in that, as we are becoming the people of this kingdom that God calls us to be. As the Bible says in Romans 13, verse 12, the night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. So as I close, I challenge you. In the next 90 days, What needs to break in your life? What are you holding on to? What is there that's tying you to this world, that's not helping you, that's making your life worse? Something that you need to let go of, something that needs to break and be removed. As we prepare for Easter, you can prepare by looking into the Word of God and seeing, how do I line up? Be prepared. When I look, I often stumble. But that's okay. What in your life needs to break in the next 90 days? That's something you need to talk to God about. You need to talk to God and ask Him what you need to let go. And right now you have an opportunity to do that. These altars are open. I invite you to come, talk to God. Ask Him what needs to break. If you feel broken, if you're willing to come to Him and say, I'm broken, Lord, fix me. He is here for you today. He will fix you. Don't be afraid. Reach out to Him. If you need special prayer, we would love to pray with you. All you have to do is come within 2 feet of the steps, and we'll gladly pray with you. Let's talk to God.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.